Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study. Welcome to the program today. Currently, we're in the midst of a detailed study of Matthew chapter 24, which is known as the Olivet Discourse. It's given the title because Jesus gave this sermon on the Mount of Olives. And the entire focus of this chapter is on the events which will take place in the last days. In our studies last week, I did an overview of the entire chapter, while this week we'll focus on the first five verses of the chapter, which discuss the destruction of the temple. Today, what I'd like to do is focus on the context of Matthew chapter 24 by looking at the events which lead up to this chapter. Matthew 24, verse 1, it says this, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple." So here we see he is actually leaving the temple. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 21, and at verse 23 reads this way, "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?'" So actually, Matthew chapter 21, verse 23, all the way through the end of chapter 25, all took place on the same day. What I'd like to do today is look at the entire setting, which actually begins at Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, which picks up the last week of the life of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times people don't quite understand how the Bible actually fits together. And in the Gospel of Matthew, starting at chapter 21 to the end, it's basically the last week of the life of Jesus Christ. So there's a strong emphasis in this book focusing on the last week of Christ's life. So I'd like to go back and look at Matthew chapter 21. At the beginning of the chapter, actually describes the Monday of the last week of Christ's life. And Matthew 21, verse 1 reads this way, "Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me.'" Then the rest of the verses up through verse 11 of chapter 1 describe what we call the triumphal entry. And that's where the people were actually receiving Christ as Messiah as they were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And they were quoting from Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26, which was a messianic psalm. So they were, in that sense, receiving Christ as Messiah. And that would have been the Monday of the last week of the life of Christ. And interesting enough, historically, what was taking place on that day is that's the very day that the Jews, the religious leaders, were picking out the Passover lamb that would have been the one that was used for a sacrifice for the entire nation. And I don't think this is by coincidence. Here, the people are receiving the Lamb of God, where the Jewish leaders are receiving that Passover lamb or picking out that Passover lamb. So on that Monday, the last week of Christ's life, that's where they received him as Messiah, as well as the Jews were picking out the Passover lamb. Then when we come to verse 12 of chapter 21, it's the next day, it's Tuesday, and the Lord comes back after they have received him, and it reads this way, "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves." So after he's received, he comes back and he cleanses the temple. This got all the religious leaders and the people all riled up, wondering if this truly was the Messiah. Then as we read on in Matthew chapter 21, picking it up at verse 18, it then describes that Wednesday of the last week of Christ, which says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' And immediately the fig tree withered away." And that would have been that picture of the judgment upon the nation of Israel. He used the fig tree as a symbol here, as there wasn't fruit. There wasn't a true receiving of the Messiah, and judgment was going to come to the nation of Israel. And then also what was happening on this Wednesday during that week, that would have been one of the days that the priests would have reinspected the lamb that was chosen, because it had to be without spot and blemish. So there would be a reinspection going on to make sure that this truly was the lamb that should be offered for the nation that would be without spot and without blemish. And it's interesting that on that Wednesday of the life of Christ, this is when the religious leaders come to him and pose these series of questions to him. And we pick it up there at verse 23 of Matthew 21, which is, "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?'" So they're challenging Christ now. They're inspecting his credentials. And Christ responds not by backing off, but by teaching a series of parables that we have recorded for us in the rest of Matthew 21, as well as in the beginning of chapter 22. And the first parable is found in verses 28 through 32. It's the parable of the two sons. And the main point of that parable is that the religious leaders, the religious people have been rejected, and the Lord has given the kingdom and the blessing to other people. And we find the main point in verse 32, where the Lord said, "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Then he goes on to another parable, the parable of the wicked vine dressers, in verses 33 through the end of the chapter in verse 46. And that's where he speaks about sending the prophets to the nation of Israel, and they rejected him. Then ultimately, as verse 37 records, it says, then at last he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. And the parable goes on to describe how they actually killed the son. The main point of the parable here is that the Jews were going to reject the very Son of God. Then as he comes to chapter 22, or we have in chapter 22 in the first 14 verses, he teaches that third parable, the parable of the wedding feast. And the main point of that parable is that people who try to get into the kingdom of God by their own righteousness will be rejected. It must be by the grace and mercy of God. So he teaches a series of parables there on this Wednesday. And now the religious leaders, they knew that they were being spoken about. So then they respond by asking a series of questions to him. Again, it's that time that Passover lamb was being inspected. And now the true Lamb of God is going to be inspected by the Jewish leaders. And here we pick it up in Matthew chapter 22 at verses 15 through 22. And that's when the Pharisees inspect the Lord and they ask him, is it right to pay taxes? And the Lord's answer was, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Then in verses 23 through 33, it's time for the Sadducees to inspect the Lamb of God, and they ask about the resurrection. And the Lord uses a passage out of the book of Exodus, because the Sadducees only received the first five books of the Bible, and this would have been one of their key passages which held their beliefs together. And in order to prove the resurrection from those first five books of the Old Testament, he quotes Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, which is in verse 32, and says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And then in verses 34 through 40, the scribes come to him, and they pose a question, which is the greatest commandment? And the Lord responds by saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He was able to summarize the entire Old Testament in two verses. Then in verses 41 through 46, after the Lord has been challenged, he then challenges them and asks them a question from Psalm 110 verse 1 of saying, how is it that David would call his own son Lord? Where the Psalm says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. I love the way verse 46 reads. It says, and no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him. So they inspected him, and they could not find any fault or blemish in him. He truly was the Lamb of God. Then the entirety of chapter 23 is when the Lord rebukes the entire religious system and pronounces these woes upon the nation, upon the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees because of their hypocrisy. And he does predict a judgment is going to take place upon them. And that's especially found in verses 34 through 39, which reads this way. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your own synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. And listen to verse 36. As surely I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. So here he's predicting judgment that's going to come upon this generation. Then in verses 37 through 39, it reads this way. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you that you will see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So here it speaks about the house being desolate in verse 38 and verse 36. All this judgment's going to come upon them. And that's when the Lord launches into chapter 24, where he goes to the Mount of Olives with his disciples and predicts this judgment that's going to come upon the temple, where not one stone would be left upon another. And that's recorded for us in verse 2, where he said, and Jesus said to them, do you not see these things? Surely I say to you that not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. So what we have in summary once again from Matthew 21 leading up to Matthew 24 is the very last days of the life of Christ. On Monday, as recorded in chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, that's the day he makes the triumphal entry, the day in which the Passover lamb was selected for the nation. Then on Tuesday, he comes back, as recorded in Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17, where he comes back and he cleanses the temple. Then at Matthew chapter 21, verse 18, he comes back on Wednesday, curses the fig tree. And actually, that day is not finished recorded until the end of chapter 25. And there, that would have been that time period where that lamb was reinspected to make sure it was without spot and blemish. And that's when the Lord's authority was challenged and the series of questions came to him, and he proved to be that spotless and unblemished lamb, the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world. Then in Matthew 23, once again, which is still on that Wednesday, he begins to predict that judgment that's going to come upon this generation, which was hearing those words. Then now, as we come to chapter 24, he begins to speak about the destruction of the temple. And in our study tomorrow, that's what we'll focus on, is that prophecy that the Lord spoke about the destruction of the temple, even to the degree that not one stone would be left upon another. I hope this study has helped set the stage, the setting, the context for the Lord's sermon given in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. If you'd like to get a copy of the studies that we will be doing here in Matthew chapter 24 or studies that we've done in the past, you could contact us at our new toll-free number, which is 1-877-941-LAMB. That's the same number that you could use if you'd like to contact us about our correspondence courses that we offer through our Bible ministry school. Also, I do make the notes available that I use for these studies on our website, which is at www.calvarylm.org.